Anyway, good morning again. Welcome to Reaching Out Ministries. Today I have something a little bit different. It's not quite what I normally do, but I do what the Lord lays upon my heart, and I do it to the best of my ability, which is not much, but if I have 2 cents and I double it, that's more than somebody has 50 cents and doesn't do nothing with it. So I'll go with that. This is a story that somebody sent to me. It's about a preacher from the slums of New York, and he tells the following story. But you know what? Before we get into it, let's do what we always do. Let's rise and pray and ask for the Lord's blessing. Because we need the Lord's blessing and His Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask you, you're welcome here in this place, Father, that you'll invade every heart, that everybody will know and feel your tangible presence, and that you are for real, and that you can change lives, you can change situations, even if we only allow you to. So, Father, you are welcome here. Angels, you're an assignment to be around this place. You'll protect everybody here, be with everybody. In Jesus' name, we pray this. Amen. So this is a story about a Jim that he preaches in the slums of New York, and he tells the following story. And I obviously just will retell the story. It was Easter Sunday, and I was so tired at the end of the day that I just went to the edge of the platform, pulled down my tie, sat down, and draped my feet over the edge. It was a wonderful service. Many people coming forward. All the counselors were busy talking and praying with people. As I was sitting there, I looked up the middle of the aisle, and there, in about the third row, was a man who looked about 50, disheveled, filthy. He looked up at me rather sheepishly, as if to say, "Could I talk to you?" Almost, I could almost feel that's what he was asking, "Could I talk to you?" Now, we have lots of homeless people coming in all the time, usually asking for money or whatever. So as I sat there, I said to myself, what a way to end a Sunday. I had such a good time preaching and ministering, and here's a fellow probably just wanting some money for some wine. Well, he walked up to the platform, and when he got within about 5 feet of me, I smelt him. It's a horrible stench, like I never smelt in my life. It was so awful that when he got close, I would inhale by looking away, then talk to him, look away, inhale, because I couldn't stand the smell. I asked him what his name was, and he said, "David." He said, then I said, "How long have you been on the street?" He said, "About 6 years," he replied. And he goes, and then I go, "How old are you?" He goes, 32. He looked more like 50, his hair matted, front teeth missing, wino, eyes glazed. So I asked him, "Where did you sleep last night, David?" And he says, "In an abandoned truck." Now, I keep in my back pocket a money clip. So I fumbled to pick it out, thinking I'll give him some money. Says I won't, and then I said to myself, I won't even get a counselor because you're all busy with others. Usually we don't give money to people, but we talk to them, get them something to eat. But I took out the money to give to David anyway. But David pushed his finger in front of me and said, "No, I don't want your money. I want this Jesus, the one you were talking about, because I'm not going to make it. I'm going to die in the street unless I have what you were talking about." So right then and there, I completely forgot about David. This is where it gets interesting. He says, I started to weep for myself. I was going to give a couple of dollars to somebody God sent to me. See how easy it is? Just give him a few dollars and he's gone. But I could make the excuse I was tired. There is no excuse. I was seeing him the way God sees him. I was not feeling what God feels. But oh, did that change for me right then and there. David just stood there. He didn't know what was happening. But I pleaded with God, "God, forgive me, forgive me. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry to represent you this way. I'm so sorry. Here I am with my message and my points, and you send someone, and I'm not ready for it. Oh, God, forgive me." Something came over me. Suddenly, I started weeping deeper. And David began to weep with me. He fell against my chest as I was sitting there. He fell against my white shirt and tie, and I put my arms around him, and there we wept on each other. The smell of this person became a beautiful aroma. Here is what I thought the Lord made real to me. Jesus speaking to my heart, if you do not love this smell, I cannot use you. Because this is why I called you where you are. This is what you are about. You're about this smell. There is many people who smell like that, and they need help. They cry for help. Christ then, the short of the story is this, he writes, Christ changed David's life. He started memorizing portions of scripture that were incredible. That was incredible. We got him a place to live. We hired him in the church to do maintenance. We got his teeth fixed. He spent Thanksgiving at my house. He also spent Christmas at my house. And when we were exchanging presents, he pulled out a little thing and he said to me, this is for you. It was a little hanky. It was the only thing I could afford, he said. A year later, David got up and talked about his conversion to Christ. The minute he took the mic and began to speak, I said, this man is a preacher. So this past Easter, we ordained David. He is now an associate pastor at a church over in New Jersey. And I was so close to saying, here, take this. I'm a busy preacher. Get out and do your stuff. So I said, Lord, thank you for sending others our way. May we never stop seeing them as your precious children, no matter how busy or tired we become. This really, really spoke to my heart. There's a difference between somebody crying for help and somebody who is the same situation as this man is but doesn't want help. This man wanted help and the preacher didn't recognize it. That's why the deep agony he had in his heart of repentance, of not recognizing somebody who actually had a need. And my scripture to end this will be part of this. So if God sends you somebody your way, God works from both two ends. Just make sure you're prepared to tell them about Jesus Christ. This man was broken. He knew what he wanted, and he came for it, and yet the preacher was not ready to give it to him. The warning to us is let's be ready to share with any man of the hope that is within us. My scripture is Revelation 3, verse 17 to 18. Jesus speaking to the church of Laodicea, because you said, I am rich, and this is now the people speaking, even though they are poor. I am rich and increased with goods and have no need of nothing. But you knew not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. See, there's a difference. There's a difference in attitude here. You can be rich, but if you're spiritually not born again, you're still poor. And Jesus is saying here, verse 18, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in fire, that you may be rich with white raiment, that you may be clothed, that thy shame be and of thy nakedness be hidden or does not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. The man was broken. He saw his brokenness. He saw he was poor in spirit. And when we see people like that, we need to be ready and to tell them about Jesus. Is that hope sure enough within you that you're actually, it's such good news that you can't, contain yourself to share it with people? It should be within you. Within you should be an automatic urge to want to share the gospel with people. Always be ready to, or always look for the opportunity. I'm not saying cast your pearls before the swine. Use wisdom. But always be ready when God opens the door to tell them about Jesus Christ. Because the time will come and that window of opportunity that slipped by will be shown to you again in eternity. And there will be tears till God wipes away those tears from our eyes. But we will remember lost opportunities. And there will be weeping in heaven for a season. Bible talks about that. Again, when the New Jerusalem comes, every tear, everything will be wiped away. Everything that you have ever done will be wiped clean. Even though the blood of Jesus already did it, I believe there will be a time where we will see when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ with the things that he gave us and we did not do with them what we should have done with them. Those lost opportunities will be gone forever. And I think there will be a time of where we'll really be sorry of why we did not do more for Christ. So my encouragement is this: be ready to give an answer of the hope that is within you. If that hope is within you, be ready to share it with others. May God bless you, and a big amen to this.
My message is a little different today. So maybe some of you should put on your seat belt. You on the internet, put on your seat belt. But before I get into this message, I was listening today on Radio CKJS, Reaching Out Ministries. And my start to the message is, my people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. And because they reject knowledge, I will also reject them as a priest and will forget their children. And somehow that message must be years old. And the story is where Lot went into the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he lost everything he had, even though God called him righteous. He lost his kids and his sons-in-laws through the fire, and his two oldest children, which were his through incest. They were the Moabites and I think the Midianites. And they were into devil worship and abortion, if you want to call it, child sacrifice. So God depends on you to be a priest to him. What does it mean to be a priest to him? You speak to him about your children, about your loved ones, about those around you. You then become a priest. But if you neglect that, he will also forget you as a priest and will not be able to use you. So take that to heart. If you want to listen to that message, you can find it on reachingoutministries.com. Click on radio and it's there. I don't know how old it is, but it was preached pretty powerfully. Anyway, today I want to preach on a message that I do try to preach on at least once a year. And it's the message of tithing. Anybody knows what that is? Tithing? Fasten your seat belts. When did tithing begin? Genesis chapter 14, that's the first record of it. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. So Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem. That was way before the Moses law came in, before the law of tithing came in. So God is trying to show us something. There's one tangible thing we have that we can give back to God, and that's our money. It's tangible, and it's something that a lot of us worship. How do we worship it? By using for the things of the flesh. You just watch what's going on around, how people just get into the things of the world. They're drawn into the things of the world because God blessed them with money. That's what it goes. I remember years ago when we left the Hutterites, we had no money. We couldn't do anything. Never mind go out and do whatever they're doing now. So if God blesses you with money, be careful with it, handle it with respect, and allow God to have some of it, because he's got a use for it, and we'll talk about that. And Malachi 3, verse 8, in the Old Testament, it was really serious. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. When you study Israel, they stopped bringing their tithes and offerings into the temple. And the priests were then forced to go out and make their own money. They could not service the people. They could not bring messages to the people from God. They didn't hear from God. Things went downhill the minute they did that. And not long afterwards, they would be worshiping other gods. So you study what's going on, and you'll see God means business. What happens if you give God part of your money? I'm not telling you how much you should give, but the Old Testament said 10%. So I take that for myself as a guideline. You may say as much as God tells me to put in. Well, one of these days he may challenge you by saying, put in everything. What will you do then? So be careful how you challenge God. It's really interesting. But look what's happened, and I've seen it with my own eyes. I know for a fact, Reaching Out Ministry started with nothing. Nothing. I told God, I'm going to do my own work, make my own money. And hey, I wouldn't have to depend on anybody else. And God said to me, so you want to be the Lone Ranger? No, that's not your ministry. That's my ministry. And whosoever I ordain to help you and to be with you. And look what he's done throughout the last whatever years we never had to borrow money to keep things going. We've been on radio, 8 to 10 stations, and that's not cheap. They've cut me down to 2 because of the government telling you not to preach on certain subjects. For some reason, those that don't claim to be Christians don't care. They still got me on there. So God is working. And he's going to work through this ministry. Through this ministry we're putting up. God showed it to me. We're going to reach a lot of people. It says, bring your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me, he says, prove me. So that's the only place in the Bible where you find God as telling you, prove me that I'm wrong on this. I know, it's almost unbelievable. You start giving to God, how he starts blessing, how he starts keeping you, and showing you what to do. I've seen it over and over. It says here, prove me now wherewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer. He will rebuke Satan when he tried to hit you in your finances or in your vehicles or in whatever he's doing. He will keep Satan back from doing that. Because when you study the book of Job, Satan had to ask for permission to touch Job. And only when God allowed him was he when he took on Job. That's why God is saying, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because they reject knowledge. I will also reject them as my priests, and worst of all, I will forget their children. That's awful. I don't want to lose my children, not one of them. And that's it. I don't want to lose anybody, but especially my children. They are precious to me. If there's something I want to take to heaven with me, it's my family. Why? Because God gave them to me. He gave them to me and my wife, and we're taking them with us because we taught them the principles of God since they were young. And by the grace of God, they took what we taught them. They saw that we meant business. God is looking for parents like that. You mean business with me, and I will do business with you. And it says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord. So you're going to be under supernatural protection. I want you guys to pay attention to the weather we're having around here. Somehow, the worst always keeps missing us. Why? Monday evening, we pray for good weather, and God always seems to answer. Oh, there'll be times when Satan will slip through. I'm not saying that we'll win all the time, even though we should. But we're human beings. If you're a priest to God, he listens to what he's telling you. He listens, and he's going to make it work towards your benefit. But if you forget God, he forgets you. He rejects you as a priest, and he forgets you. So start sowing into the kingdom. Try to use common sense. I'm not saying what anybody should give. Whatever God teaches you in the Word, the Word is the best guideline, and you will find that your heart is at peace when you do it. And slowly you'll start feeling the blessings coming. Where else did it begin? I found a strange one here in Genesis. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. Bethel is an interesting place. We were there when we were in Israel. It's a place where they make peace, where they do peace talks. This is where I believe they killed all those false prophets. Go to Bethel and dwell there, and make thee an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. And then Jacob told his family, God wants us to go there. And there's something you have to do. And they give unto Jacob all their strange gods. They had idols with them, and which were in their hand, and all their earrings. So anybody here has an earring? Hand it over. All their earrings, which were in their ears. I thought that was kind of funny, because in those days, earrings were a mark of beauty, a mark of somebody that's pretty well off. But it says here, they give them all their earrings in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak that was by Shechem. So why did he put them there? It's an offering to God. Nobody had the benefit of it under in a hole. He just buried them. That's for you, God. Do whatever you want. Take it out. Give it to somebody else. But he gave it to God. And that's another place where somebody just, hey, God, I want to give you something tangible. I'll do this. What else will you give him? He's got everything. He's got everything. What he wants from you is your heart and a way to preach the word. And when you go into the New Testament, they took offerings at the first of the week, that's on Sunday, and they sent it back to Jerusalem for the apostles so they wouldn't have to go out and work. They were able to pray and to heal and to preach and to do mighty miracles. You study these things. It says, Paul says, now in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given orders to the church of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Never mind passing the bucket when it comes. It should be already there, ready for him to pick up. And I thought that was interesting. Today, they have offerings, they have this, they have that. And in this church, we never, ever took an offering. We have a box in the back. Whatever God lays on your heart, put in. Whatever God tells you to put in the bank, do it there. God has blessed us, and I have had reports from my accountant. He has never, ever seen anything like that in any church. So that's a plus for us. So what I'm saying is, give your heart to God. Seek him. If you want to please him with something tangible, there's money. Money is for what? What are we doing with the money? We're preaching the gospel. The bulk goes into preaching the gospel, doing the things of God. Yes, there were times when my wife had to go to work, I had to find odd jobs. But after a while, God blessed, and the time came when she didn't have to work. And finally, she took the hint. She doesn't have to work. We have enough. God is giving us enough. Do I have pensions? Not a cent. Do I have insurance? Nothing. Why? Because the same God that kept me when I was 30 is going to keep me when I'm 80. How is that? Amen. Hallelujah. So don't worry. Don't be stupid. Don't be slothful with your money. Be wise. Use it wisely. But have God in mind. Seek him, and he will show you what to do with it. Because God loves a cheerful giver, and he loves it when you have the nerve, or should I say, you talk to him and say, Lord, how much? Who do I give to? What do I do with it? What do I do? And God will answer, because he does. He did to me, and he will for you. So open your heart to this. Let it be a blessing. Let God prosper you. You will find out that I'm not telling a lie. I am preaching from the word, which never changes and is always true. Hallelujah. So let the Lord open your heart and make you blessed. Amen.